Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey, cold weather doesn't stop ants. Not Anthony Edwards. Ants. They just bring the whole colony indoors. Once they find warmth and food, they'll keep coming back until you have a huge problem. ATCO Pest Control eliminates the source and keeps them throughout winter. Visit ATCOPestControl.com, ATCOPest.com. Mention you heard about ATCO on What's Bugging You and get 10% off any ant treatment this month.
Hey, real quick, before we do this.
Yeah.
So I didn't see a really detailed play of the last foul.
Okay.
Yep.
I just saw it kind of from a broad version.
Okay.
Here's what I would say without seeing it. Like, was it on a rebound, or could he have gotten some kind of follow shot up?
Here, come look at it. I have it right here.
Yeah.
Come on over, Sonny.
It's kind of on. So, they're jockeying
and it's part
for
of what's
the ball.
Bugging. It's yeah. part of what's bugging me.
They're jockeying for the ball.
So there's Moses, right. And he doesn't block out, okay? And then we skip ahead. He gets beat, The problem is the ball hits nothing.
He might be grabbing onto his shirt right
but
now.
But not really. And then if you want to play it either, like, does he foul him
this
a little bit
so
from
funny.
Behind?
I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Like, I mean, you've got...
How much time's left on this frame?
About 0.6? Oh, no, one full second. And then if we play it forward...
I think it's a foul.
But that right there...
But he was coming out with a rebound.
Right, but
he's got the ball.
But you got to get, like...
He's got the damn ball, Steinmetz.
It's a tough call.
It is tough.
I don't think you can do
that
sports...
That was a live look-in from Steiny.
I don't think you can do sports with this idea of just, like, is it a foul by the letter of the law? Like, in other words, is there pass interference on a Hail Mary? Every time.
Sure, do they referee the playoffs different than the regular season in every sport?
They admitted it.
Yep.
So, like, that's what that was. I can't tell you that Moses didn't foul the guy, but that was pass interference on a Hail Mary. That's what they called. And that's usually pretty, I can't call it wrong. It's annoying. It's super annoying.
Yep.
I don't like games, and that's nothing about the Warriors. I don't like go to overtime. Come on.
It was ticky-tack.
Yeah.
And I'll start with what's bugging me. What's bugging me is Dylan Brooks for a number of reasons. One, he is a dirty player. Two, like, offensively, he was a problem. Like, oh my God, they had no answer for him. But thirdly, on that very play, he couldn't even hit the rim. So his three ball was so bad that it didn't even produce a normal rebound, which would have been back iron, boom, game over.
Right.
His shot was so bad that the Warriors couldn't even block out and get the rebound. And I hope... And we can get into this on our show, Mark. I hope somebody with the Warriors has the cojones to send a message to him and put him on his ass. Put Dylan Brooks on the ground. Guru's not here. Somebody's got to be mad. I'm sick of it.
Well,
I'm sick of watching him run around and hit Steph Curry in the stomach.
It's pretty obvious what every Warrior fan would like to see tomorrow night.
The code red.
Draymond, get yourself thrown out and take him with you.
Not Draymond.
Why not? Why not? Everybody wants him on the bench.
Go after Booker.
So go punch Dylan in the face.
I want both of you to leave. I want the tough East Coast lacrosse guy to come in there, Pat Spencer.
Patty.
Just clothesline him.
You know, and people, you know what I want? I want them to do something that's not, that's, I want them to do something smart yet not, how about this, smart yet discreet.
Oh, he's easy to pull into it.
Exactly.
That's, I think that'll happen automatically.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever watched a game that he's in where something doesn't happen.
Like I just said, my thing is you can't let him come into your gym tomorrow and just play a normal game like nothing happened.
No.
You know.
He armbarred, not only did he armbar Steph Curry, did y'all watch the slow-mo of that? He tried.
He hit him in the stomach.
But before he hits him in the stomach, did you notice the way he closed out?
Yeah.
He closed out and then he did a big swipe at Steph's hand. He tried to whack him in the hand. He missed. And then he armbarred him in the stomach.
Yep.
That's why I'm going after Booker. You take a cheap shot at our best player. Your best player has the bullseye on his back.
I would agree, but you saw what happened after the game, right? Steph had worn the Booker Chevy shoes, and he signed those shoes for Booker.
Even better. Book's not going to see it coming.
I mean,
that's Steph. That doesn't mean Draymond can't.
But you said it all week. Everything goes through Steph.
Yeah.
So, like, it was like, hey, Book, great job. Way to hit the game winner. Here are the shoes, your shoes that I wore.
Yeah.
Love you, bro. You were my gold medal.
That's who
you called shotgun.
That's who he is.
It's true.
That's right.
Who he is.
All right, what's bugging
it's
me?
Who they are.
What's bugging me is, and I'm sure you guys are now familiar with it. I don't know what the name, if it has a name, but when you get a bill at a restaurant or bar and they have three blocks there with different percentage tips.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
And so various, some might say 15, 20, 25.
15, 18, 20 usually. Yeah.
Yeah, I have 18, 20, 22.
Okay.
And
I love this.
This is not going to be what you think. You know, when you do that, you're limiting your tips. I know, like.
That's a good point.
I tip more than 25%.
Ooh.
I just do.
Ooh.
But when 25, when it says the limit is 25, well, I'm not going to do math now at this point. You know what I'm saying? If 25 is your limit, of course I could just throw another 5 in and that would probably get me up toward, but come on. You got to give a person a chance to be generous.
They're also giving you the chance to be cheap if they don't have the boxes next to them.
Unfortunately, we don't live by the honor system, and it's really a shame. It's a shame.
Why are you looking at me?
No.
If you order food at a place and then you go there and you just pick it up,
mm-hmm.
do you tip?
I might throw, well, if any coin now goes in the closest jar.
Right.
Nobody wants it.
But, I mean, you pick up Chinese food.
Okay.
Lin Jia, which is right around the corner from your house. I wish you would go there.
Right.
It's phenomenal. And, you know, they prepare it. They've got chefs. They've got people. And, you know, you call it in.
I'd say I'm a 50%er.
50?
No. 50% of the time.
Right.
I will tip. Like, I'll throw a couple dollars.
Okay.
A dollar or two.
Okay.
A couple dollars.
All right.
Some people do 10% for to-go.
Yep. Yeah. It's about right.
Yeah.
We're getting into the Mr. Pink part of the conversation. But. What?
Well, no. Let me go next because it's related to you.
Oh.
I'm told it's not about you.
Okay, that's
you want to know what's bugging me, and I'm not even 100% able to access why it's bugging me. This Fisher concert tonight, and I hear you're going.
I am.
Okay,
John Fisher.
It's not John Fisher. So this is.
I don't want to leave Oakland.
It's at the Moscone.
By the way, do you know how many people are going?
I don't.
Okay.
We got tickets.
One of Abe's friends, my oldest son, says that there are 25,000 people going to Moscone Center tonight.
What?
I don't know if that's true.
Can't be.
But why not?
The capacity is about 10.
No, that's in certain events rooms.
We're going to find out.
But I also don't know that he's right, and he's an 18-year-old kid, so he's probably wrong. But anyway, they think there are 25,000 people going, and it's the most popular thing of all time. It's house music, which is literally the only kind of music I can't listen to.
Oh, man.
I can listen to anything.
How old are you?
Old enough. So as you know, John Bloom, who will be on the show at 5, the voice of the Suns, he's my best friend. So all of the guys who are still living in the Bay Area, my high school friends, we're getting together tonight. And I told them as they come into the city, I go, let's get as far away from the Moscone Center as possible, because that's going to be a crowd and dealing with it, and people might be Ubering and all of this stuff. Let's get away from that, because there's a Fisher concert. And every one of them responded exactly to the same. Do you know what they said?
Who's Fisher?
Who's Fisher? And so I'm that guy that's the tweener on this, because I have an 18-year-old son. My stepdaughter and a bunch of friends is going as well. They're all excited. I don't know if they actually, this is what I want to ask you, Evan. Do you actually know what it is you're going to? Like, he doesn't
Well, I didn't think I was going to be with 25,000 people. That's what I know.
I guess that I know a lot of people, the answer to that would be yes.
But I listened to his music before.
Okay.
But part of it is also free 99. I mean, like, we got the tickets.
It's all instrumental.
Yeah, he's a DJ.
Right, he's a DJ. Right. Yeah.
So the whole point is the crowd, the environment, the whatever. People love that stuff.
It's like, to me, this is the musical version of the way I drink coffee. I drink coffee because I want the vanilla that's in it.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of you are going to this concert tonight because you just want to either drink or do drugs. Is that like...
It's not an either. It's an and. And
he's just a conduit.
But that's been concert since the beginning of time.
Not all of them.
When you are young, and I don't know, I'm not going to say your son is doing, you know, whatever he's doing.
No, he's drinking. He won't do drugs. He'll be drunk.
And
I'm sure.
I like that you believe he's the responsible man that we know him to be.
No, yeah.
So
he is.
A lot of times when you're that age, or you know, I'm not going to be doing a lot of that stuff, but I'm still going to go and have fun. That's the point of the concert.
It's not the whole point of the concert. I get what you're saying. Yes, I've been completely faded at many, many concerts before.
When you were 18 years old and you're going to see your favorite artist.
100% of the time. But it was an artist that I liked, number one. And number two, I feel like this is a little bit of a steroided version of it. Because I don't think people even know what the music is.
Yeah, maybe some of them.
I'm okay with it.
If I were 18 and could get drunk at an opera, I'd go to the opera. And you know what I'm saying?
I remember seeing
a country concert.
Milli Vanilli, I think it was 1989 or 90, down at Shoreline.
Yeah,
the summer jam. And we all thought that it was great. And come to find out that it was much like this, where they were just playing music. And Milli and or Vanilli were just running around.
They were DJing.
They weren't singing. Yeah, they were just running around high-fiving each other. So it's time-honored. It's tried and true. So have a good time.
Be safe.
Uber.
Don't Uber.
Hydrate.
Don't Uber. You're not going to be able to get an Uber.
Fortunately, the place we're staying is within walking distance. So
yes,
we're completely fine. But real quick.
Everybody, have a plan, for crying out loud.
What's bugging me real fast is something you drink. I'm sorry, Steiny. It's eggnog. I'll just get it out of the way. Eggnog's bugging me because I love it. It goes with everything. It is a fantastic Christmas time holiday luxury, and it's only good for 3 days. Can we find a way to preserve eggnog for longer than 3 days once you open it? Because I don't want to go back to the store every 3 days to find out that it's also gone because there's none of it around anywhere. So it's a luxury, it is rare, and it is one of the most perishable items at Christmas time. So my what's bugging me is eggnog.
Can you freeze the nog? For
6 months, but I don't want it in the summer. I want it now.
Who wants to do this for six? Why only 6 months?
I don't know. That's what it said on AI.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, I mean, if you drank a whole, quart of eggnog, my goodness gracious.
You can go to
it's
a Fisher
alcohol,
concert.
Right?
Yeah.
But you can add alcohol to
you
it.
You have to add alcohol to
That's
it.
That's kind of the point.
The question is,
it's kind of like a concert.
Is the original eggnog
like a Fisher concert
just eggnog, or is it eggnog and the alcohol?
I think you said it perfectly, Steiny.
And I think you'll have the answer. Probably not here, but
on 95.7 The Game.
Bye, Steiny.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
How big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh,
all I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ha ha! Let's go!
Friday.
Let's go Friday before Christmas. I know everybody's ticked off. I get it.
Why am I ticked off?
Because the Warriors just ticked everybody off again.
Oh, you clowns trying to fade, and I got it right.
Okay, hold on a sec.
Seattle's going to win by more than one.
I don't care.
Fade.
I don't care. They won. Can I read you a DM I got on Instagram?
I won.
Good
Go
for
ahead.
You. Well, yeah, actually, you. The DM on Instagram might change the way you think about this.
Okay.
I want to say thanks to Zach Robertson. You're clearly a good listener. You were tapped in and dialed in, and he sent me a DM at 6:55 in the morning, which means you're a good morning person.
Yep.
Just like me. I love it. Get up at 6:55 and start sending DMs to your favorite radio hosts. I love it. Zach wrote, "I love that you and Dibs were both right for last night's game. He took the Rams, and they covered.
Boom.
You took the Seahawks so that the Niners now control their own destiny, and both things happened. At least celebrate that before you guys get in to the depressing state of the Warriors, LOL. You know what that stands for on the internet?
Probably laugh out loud.
Exactly. And thank you, Zach.
I was not laughing out loud when Draymond came in and turned it over, and when they went from... oh my God, up by 14 to down 5, but hey, wait a minute. Dylan the villain with a flagrant, 2 throws, and then a Jimmy line drive 3. Oh my God, we got a ball game.
We got a ball game.
And then they still ended up losing, but all the while, just, I mean, real quick on the football game, we'll get into football, during the
come
show.
On.
But
yeah, this was
game,
huge.
But that game, it went the way we wanted. That game was awesome.
That game was the game of the year.
That game was super fun.
To me,
and Sean McVegas, again, found his way into a loss.
Listen.
Wow.
It's the holiday season, and a lot of you, right? We're now 6 days away, and I know how it goes. You're sitting there, you're thinking, my God, I got so much to do by next Thursday. I don't have the time to do it. The rain is coming. The rain is coming any minute, and apparently it's never leaving again for the rest of 2025. That's what we're told. That's what my app says.
Right.
So I get it. It's very, very stressed out there. Do you want to know something that I hope will make you feel better? No matter how stressed you are not as stressed as Sean McVay. I have never seen someone look like that. It looks like every single feature on his face is about to fly off of it and run at the reporter. He's in attack mode. He's got his hands on the table and he's leaning toward. Oh, and by the way, remember when Guru all week has been really flustered that Raymond Ritter had to tell Steve Kerr about the Joe Lacob email before the press conference? You want to know why? Reason number 8,000 why Raymond Ritter is the absolute best in the business. Did you see Sean McVegas try to struggle through a post-game press conference where no one had informed him that his top wide receiver lost his damn mind on Twitter for the third time this week.
Right.
In the locker room right after the game, and he had no idea. And he was caught completely flat-footed. And he didn't know what to say, and he was stressed and annoyed and angry. And that's what good PR people do. You get that coach ready for that question.
Right, and I mean, the other part of it is, my God, Puka Nacua, have a day.
Dude.
Have a day,
have
Puka.
A week.
Well, just, I mean.
Great stats.
The night he had
bad
last
PR.
Night.
PR.
But forget the PR. Just let's talk about football for just a moment. 12 for 225 and
yeah.
two?
Yeah.
Like, even then, they lose the game, and he's over with Stafford, and he's like, you know, kind of put his arm around him like, it's not us. I mean, you know, whatever happens, happens, but, you know, they went out there, and yeah. they did the damn thing. He was amazing.
I'd like to put, speaking of put your arm around people, I'd like to put my arm around anybody who's going against Puka Nacua in a fantasy playoff game this week. It sucks to have
You're
to
done.
Yeah. Then you have to sit here for 72 hours and look at different permutations to see if you can figure out a way where maybe it'll still all work out. Will all of the guys, other players, just put up a bunch of goose eggs this weekend? It's nauseating.
Yeah.
It's
That's 47.5 PPR with 12 catches.
Puka?
Yep. 12 and, oh no, it's actually 50.5 with a 3-point bonus.
What was the total number?
12 catches, which is 12.
That's 12 points.
225, which is 22.5.
Sure.
So now we're at 34.5. Two touchdowns,
that's
which is another
12. So we're up to 46.5.
In our league, you get a 3-point bonus for over 100.
Yeah.
So 49 and a hook.
You don't get another 3-point bonus for over 200?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you probably should, right?
You definitely should.
Whatever.
You get a 5-point bonus. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, you're dead if you're going against him. Sorry. But I do want to... I'm glad Zach sent that because I do want to take a moment. There's plenty of the day for us to get super angry about the Warriors. I get it. You get it. We will. That was a very... For that game, the way you kind of laid it out to where it's like, all right, enough. You've gotten all the rest. You've gotten the hard games out of the way. This needs to start now. I thought Steve Kerr played that game as if they super duper uber needed it. If you look at the minute allocation, that looks to me like somebody who was like, we've got to win this game. And you didn't, and you didn't even score 100 points, and Dylan Brooks clowned you, and all of that stuff. It could not be more frustrating right now. But today is the first day all year where it actually feels maybe better than 50-50 that something special is coming for the San Francisco 49ers.
Maybe, yeah.
Like it actually feels attainable and maybe even, dare I use the word, likely?
Oh, boy.
Well.
That's risky.
Now, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl, but, I mean, they're favored in the last three games, right? They've got to be.
Yeah.
They've got to be favored in all three games.
Yep. I mean, pending what happens on Monday, but right now that spread has gone from 6 down to 5.5.
Sure. But can you, like, can we please?
And do you think they'll be favored against Seattle in Week 18?
I do, because I don't think people looked at last night as Seattle outplayed the Rams. I think people look at last night like Seattle got super lucky. And it's a home game, and it's a prime timer. And if the 49ers are coming off, like they will have won six in a row if they were
right.
If they were to win the other two, those are quality opponents. Yeah, I do. I think it'll be a small favorite, but yes, I think the Niners will be favored in that game. So look, I'd still say that, you know, another three-game win streak here to end this. This is going to be really hard. And I'm not going to say they've got it or anything like that. But this is the first day all year where this feels attainable. And that's nuts. You cannot tell me that this season's going to end with a one seed. That's diabolical.
It's crazy. I mean, no Bosa, no Warner, and no Brock for, what, eight games, was it? And so,
eight games, yes.
I mean, you're sitting with this, and you know, you've done it with a last place schedule. Schedule Sam would tell you that, yeah, you should have been good, but maybe not this good. And then last night kind of gave you that little bit of a glimpse into, all right, now you have a chance. And if you want to look back right now, before we look forward, you look back at this year, the Mac Jones win on the road Thursday night at LA. That's going to be one
signature
if they
moment.
Do get the one seed. Yep. That to me is going to be the one you look at where. They come out, they score, they get the ball back, they score, and you're up 14-0 against the Rams, and you had to hold on for dear life, by the way.
Yeah, and you
and
did,
win
like,
in overtime.
I know that, you know, playmaking, sometimes people get stuck in the whole, like, this was lucky or this was actual execution. But if you think about the Rams this year, they've lost four times. Whatever happened a couple of weeks ago in Carolina, you played a stupid game. I don't know what happened in that game. But look at their other three losses, okay? Look at them. Philadelphia, they were up 26-7.
Yep.
And even in gacking that one away, they still were lining up for a game-winning field goal that got blocked.
Was that game-winning or game-tying? It was game-winning?
No, it was game-winning.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was going to be a game-winning field goal, and it got blocked.
Block six.
Right. Okay, now go to the 49er game. You just laid that out. Sure, they go up 14-0, then the Rams dominate much of the rest of the way. They're going in for the game-winning touchdown, and what happens? Kyren Williams fumbles at the two-inch line. There's that. And then there's last night where, for God's sakes, a Rams fan, I'm a Niner diehard, and I can still see through these eyes and tell you that that's a pretty controversial two-point conversion to bonk it off someone's helmet, have it roll into the end zone, have officials blow the whistle, and then Zach Charbonnet picks the ball up without even realizing there's a point to it, and that ends up being a two-point conversion that allows them to go into overtime. The Rams are the best team.
Yep.
But they're probably going to finish in third place. Like, this, the breaks are not going their way.
Right.
So, is magic happening? I don't know. Santa wears red.
Well, and you have to.
You're saying.
Exactly. You're just saying that. And, I mean, shout out Hanukkah. And
night five or six?
It's night six, yeah.
Okay.
We're on the back nine, as we talked about yesterday.
I wasn't home last night, so I start losing track.
And the Niners still have a lot of work to do, obviously, to make this whole elf on the shelf reality happen. And it starts in Indy, and DeForest Buckner apparently is going to be cleared to play, and he's going to be back and good to go. So we can get more into that game as we go. But last night's Warrior game gave me a certain amount of Niner vibes from last year, where the Niners had plays that they could have made and didn't. And last night, the Warriors had two or three plays that if they make those plays, they win the game. And that was the Niners last year.
Yeah, let's get into it. And so, sure, we're here for your calls. And why don't we just start it completely as wide open of a lane as possible? What is ticking you off about the Warriors? And therefore, you can take this to any player, any coach, any situation you want. I'll give you two things that I found very frustrating about last night. Coming up next, we're sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything. Your frustrated Warrior phone calls right now. The voice of the Suns, John Bloom's going to join us in 2.5 hours. They're on a plane right now. When they land, he'll call in. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
I'm Mooney.
Bay Area is Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
I don't really care if this sounds like sour grapes. That's stupid.
No,
I
just think it's better if it comes from me.
Yeah, just
because I'm the ref for
all right,
the show.
Fine, I'll step out. Go ahead.
I didn't think that needed to be called as a foul. I didn't think that it really was a foul. If there was 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, fine, it's a foul. But with
it's a bailout
for me.
It's a bailout.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, shout out 2008.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in real time as a foul, and then I watched it again and again. And you know me, Mark. You know me. I love the refs. And in this case, I was like, it didn't need to be called.
No.
Like,
and I know there's a lot of people who view sports through the lens of a foul is a foul, and the circumstances do not matter.
But that doesn't exist.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. You're right.
A foul is not a foul.
Right.
Like, and right. Everything has context.
That's why I liken it to what I said earlier, which is that this is akin to calling pass interference on a Hail Mary. It happens every single time, but you're never, ever going to call it.
If you're on the freeway and it's a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit and you're going 66, you're speeding. And if somebody goes by you going 114, they're also speeding, but that's a foul you're going to call.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And I mean, this was more than him going 66 and a 65. I did think that it might have been a borderline, but for me, that was a call that did not need to be made.
No,
so there you go.
Yep. You just don't do that. You don't decide games that way. And a veteran official should know better. You don't do that. You knew exactly how much time was left on the clock. You better see somebody get thrown into the second row for that to be a foul. And by the way, there's just buckets of evidence of this. My favorite one of all time is date back to the playoffs when the Warriors rallied back, that furious fourth quarter rally, and Steph relocated and hit the corner three against New Orleans to tie the game at the buzzer.
And Anthony Davis kind of put him into the third row?
Threw him into the third row. No foul.
No foul?
No foul. Because the ref knows if I whistle that, I'm giving Steph Curry three free throws, and that's going to tie the game. And we don't do that. We don't do that in the final tick of a game. You don't do it. I mean, quite frankly, that one should have been.
Right.
Because that was like a foul, like a hard foul. But he made the shot.
Yep.
So, yeah.
The Warriors, one you had me thinking about was Michael Jordan against Utah and Byron Russell, where Jordan clearly throws him aside. Like, Jordan crosses over and pushes him out of the way, and he hits the shot, and it's, okay, it's Jordan, it's the finals, it's that moment. We're not going to call that.
No, but I mean, this one's different.
It's a foul.
This is Moses Moody, and I don't even remember. Who's the guy who hit the free throw? Like, I mean, what are we doing?
I'd have to look it up.
What are we doing? We got four people.
Is it Jordan Goodwin?
Sure. You have four people jockeying for a rebound, an airballed rebound down below.
God, Dylan Brooks.
What are we, like, come on. So anyway, I'll just get that off my chest. The Warriors do plenty of shooting themselves in the foot. So I'm not putting the game on the refs. I'm simply saying that was dumb. That's stupid. You just don't do that.
No.
You don't decide games that way.
And then you watch Goodwin shoot the first free throw.
Oh, my gosh. He almost airballed that. Yeah. Tighten that
and then
sucker up.
Steph comes over with a big, like, clap, clap, clap. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that easy. 15 feet. No one guarding you. And then he made it, and whatever. They lose. But to me, they lost the game far before that. And
for sure.
You're saying it, and I'm saying it. We're not blaming the refs because you were up by 14 in the third. And then you couldn't score for the better part of a half an hour.
This is a drawing board game. What did everybody say all week long? There were two things that I heard on 95.7 The Game. There are two things I heard all week long. Play Jonathan Kuminga, because that's every single week. And Jimmy Butler needs to be more freaking aggressive.
You had that one right.
All right, so now what? Both of those things happened.
I mean, they didn't really both happen.
Well, Jimmy was more aggressive.
Kuminga played-ish.
9.5 minutes. Yeah, that's...
He played, like, his first stint was an actual stint where it was like 6 minutes of, all right, and...
Whole thing's weak sauce.
Then he played 2.5 minutes, and...
It's weak.
I mean, there's a lot of takeaways. For me, like GP2, 3 minutes, and he was a -7. Why don't we put him in the DNP range for a while?
I just, to me, this is, gosh, what could I liken this to? Let's say you're one of these parents that, and this is in my mind from last night, one of these parents that won't, usually don't go to your kids' games, and they're probably feeling some type of way about it.
That was my parents.
And, but they're begging you, like, can you come to my game?
Never once, ever.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, Sue and Dwayne, rest in peace.
Yeah,
I was kid number four, and it was high school tennis.
It gets tough.
This was not Doug playing for a state championship.
I go to as many as I can, but I don't go to them all, and there might be some people viewing my world from the outside like, well, you probably should have gone to that one. You know, like if it's in the middle of a football Sunday, to me, that's work. I've got, like, I can't catch up.
Right.
I can't. I cannot catch up. I have a show that night. We've got shows
all week. On 16 games?
I cannot do it. And so... If it's at the wrong time, and we've got a great network of friends and people who will take him to these games, I don't go to all of them, but I go to a lot of them. But the kid begs you to finally go to the game, and you go to the game, but you never look up from your phone the entire time. That's what Steve Kerr did to Jonathan Kuminga last night. Play me, play me, play me. Okay, here's crumbs. Here's crumbs that will never even let you get out of the starting gate. Why? Why? To me, that was a complete half-baked way to do it. You either play him or you don't. That felt like, I don't know if it came from above, you need to play Jonathan, and so Steve's like, see, I played him. I didn't like that. I don't like 9.5 minutes. You're not going to have a public statement that he's back in the rotation and then do 9.5 minutes. This isn't even a statement about how he played or whether he should play. I'm just like, either do 0 or do 22. Don't do 9.
Yeah.
That's what are we doing? That doesn't give anybody a chance to do anything.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
I don't like that.
18, 22, whatever. If you have an actual rotation of minutes, and you know, we've talked about this a bunch, where in a 48-minute game, you've got 5 players at a time, you've got 240 minutes. So if you want to talk about like who gets what, well, Jimmy gets 34, Draymond 30, Steph gets 33. So that right there is about 100. So now we have 140 minutes for the other whoever. And Quentin Post right now, he earns minutes. And Pods, he played great,
He played really
well. All you Pods haters, you're having a bad day because he kept you in it late.
He did.
Pods gets his minutes. And so now we're starting to look at, you know, who else gets minutes, and Melton's going to get his. That's fine. And then beyond that, like, who else? And Gee got 14, and beyond that, it was crumbs for everyone else.
Yep, and I get it. That's what I mean by Steve played this one like it was a really, really important game, and you can make the case that it is. But bottom line for me, I don't think it does Jonathan a whole lot to play him 9 minutes. And if Draymond's going to keep turning the ball over this much, then Jonathan should play more and Draymond should play less. Like I if you're going to keep turning the ball over at this level, then Draymond, what'd you say he was at, 33? How many minutes for Draymond last night?
30.
Okay, take 5 of those and give them to Jonathan, at least. Take 6 or 7 of them and give them to Jonathan.
Yeah. And, I mean, what I was thinking about watching it last night was, let's let Melton be the guy who is at the point of attack more than Draymond, because Melton is much more likely to keep the ball. Draymond with 13 turnovers in the last 2 games, I think that Melton as a point guard, so Draymond can play in a little bit more of the, I don't know if he can play the dunker spot because he can't really get up and dunk like that, but you can have Draymond play in a different role, and that's where I think Steve Kerr has his work cut out for him. How do you play Draymond, maybe not 30 minutes, maybe it's 25, yep, and have him still be productive and also have the turnovers not be as bad? Because again, last night, I'm looking at 20 turnovers for the Warriors.
Yeah,
and
it's just crazy. They just crazy. Can't. I mean, they're focused on it, and they can't stop. Right. They're like addicts right now. They're focused on it, and they can't. Usually when you shine a light on something and you're pretty good at what you do, you can be a little bit effective. He is blue in the face, Steve Kerr, talking about turnovers. So are Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph, and they can't fix it.
Yep.
Like, wow.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Let's go to Steve in the Bay. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
How you guys doing?
We're good.
I think the Warriors need to find outside help as far as development is concerned. None of the Warriors have fundamentals besides Curry and Jimmy Butler. Half of them can't shoot. They can't dribble. The passing is okay, but I think for there to be close to another Stephen Curry, either Paz or what have you, are going to have to come to Curry and say, teach me what you do. As far as, and Jimmy Butler too. Somebody's going to have to come to those two players, since they seem to be stars, and ask them, what is it that you do in the summer to make you play like you do? That's the only solution that I see.
Steve, I'd put it this way. Thank you very much for the call. The whole Warriors development process is a very, very fair topic. But I think that something else is overwhelming it. I think that this is something where people talk about a symptom rather than the disease. The Warriors development process is the symptom. The disease is the fact that they are completely, fully, and overwhelmingly, and I get it, dedicated to their Hall of Fame players. And it completely stunts what is even possible to happen with a bevy of young players. I don't know how they are supposed to develop in actual game action, and you're never going to get me to rip the Warriors for it, because on the down low, all of those of you who rip the Warriors for it, you also vote for them to keep doing what they're doing. You like nobody wants them to move off of Steph. Nobody wants them to use the word rebuild. Nobody wants to do that. And then you yell at them for not developing young players, which, by the way, they have. They have, and you've detailed this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Lot. There right. are a bunch of players who developed. Those of you who want Jordan Poole back, where did he develop? So, and some of that is on the player as well. I get it. I just don't think it's the disease. I think it's the symptom of the disease.
And I do think that you look at last night, for example, Moody played 30 minutes and he was 2 of 10.
He's lost.
That's what I said on our show thread. And I agree with you. I believe that he's a little bit, I don't know if he's like, lost on, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, but he's not playing the way that he needs to play. 1 of 6 from three. He did have 8 rebounds and, you know, the plus minus, he was a minus one. So when he was out there, they were, you know, the same as the rest of the team. Quentin Post played 27 minutes and he was 3 of 14. And I was watching all his shots earlier today. Thank you, NBA.com. And he had 4 or 5 that were open looks, corner threes, open shots you want him to take. And he didn't make them. He was 2 of 10 from three. So they're giving younger guys a chance to play and do their thing. But beyond that, GP2, 3 minutes, Trace, 7, Buddy, 10. And you know what, Buddy? You got 10 minutes, and you need to go out there and figure it out.
You made your three.
Yep.
You shot one and went in.
1 for 2 on the floor. So I think Buddy is a guy who's going to get a chance and another chance and another chance. And so, like Will Richard, you don't get to play right now because you're the odd man out. So Steve is clearly searching. And as he's searching, nobody's making it clear, like, I'm the guy. You found me.
100%.
And so this is where we can rip Steve and 888-957-9570, rip Steve Kerr. We're here for it until 6. But whatever he's doing, whatever he's looking for, they're not showing him that it's being found.
Yeah. Again, I just think all of these things are a symptom of the larger disease, and the disease is, to a degree, something that you just catch. It's not the fault that everyone wants it to be. Like even this last text that just came in, Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Willard, the rest of the association is packed full of young players. Listen to yourself. I didn't say that it's not. But you don't, what you don't see around the association is championship level players who have already won rings and then have moved into their 30s and are still, at least one or two of them, performing very well, and they are also bolstered by future superstar 23-year-olds. You don't see that. Oklahoma City is doing it as a group. They're all in their 20s.
Right.
The whole group's in their 20s. The Warriors, please understand, they don't have that opportunity. They don't have the draft capital usually. They don't have early picks. When they have had them, they've messed them up. And they don't have the finances to go out and get those young players because $115 million this year alone is dedicated to two players. And if you want to rip them for that, you're completely welcome to. I just wonder if you were one of the people who back in February said, I hate the Jimmy trade. And did you say the year before that, the Warriors really need to move Steph Curry? And nobody says that.
Right.
There's always like one caller a week. You know what they need to do? And then like people hang up on him because he gets so mad. And I'm one of them. I don't hang up on him, but I don't want them to trade Steph Curry. I'd rather go through this frustration with Steph than have him wear another jersey. That's me.
Yep.
You can make fun of that if you want, but that's how I feel.
And that's how I feel too, because even if you play out the other side of it, which is, all right, you're going to move off of Steph and Jimmy and Draymond, and you're just going to start the whole thing over. I did a full deep dive on dynasties earlier today. Like, how do they end?
Yeah.
And I did four dynasties I looked at, including one that wasn't actually a dynasty, but I did the Miami one, the Miami run, because they went to four straight finals with LeBron and Dwayne Wade. But dynasties happen. They end in a certain way. The Bulls, okay, Phil Jackson, you're not coming back, and all of them left. And then they went 6 years, by the way, no playoffs, with a winning percentage of .257. The Bulls, after the Last Dance.
Jeez.
So there's that. The Spurs, they won. They ran it back. They lost. They lost. They lost in the Western Finals. They lost in the first round. And that was the year Kawhi got hurt. And by the time he got to the next year, Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, Leonard, they were all gone. But they tried to run it back, which is kind of what this Warrior team is doing. Like, you won in 22, and you run it back. You run it back, and you brought in Butler. And it's a little bit like what you experienced with the Lakers. And I think you were down there in 02 when...
Yes, I was.
They won their third straight in 02, and then they brought it back. They lost in the Western semis. Then they brought in Malone and Payton. They lost in the finals. Then Shaq left. Malone left. Payton left. Fisher left. You went 34-48, and then you were left with, I think it was Westhead and Kobe, and eventually you would bring in Pau Gasol, and you would reboot it, and you would win again.
Exactly.
But that's the Lakers. And the other one was the Heat, where they went to four straight finals. They lost. They won two, and then they lost. And then Ray Allen retired. Bosch and Wade, two more years. LeBron left, and then you struggled. And then after that, they all were gone. So dynasties end one of two ways. Either it's a cliff like Chicago, or it's a slow fade like San Antonio, which the Warrior thing feels to me more like San Antonio, which is we're going to hold on and we're going to hope. And then, you know, San Antonio was first round lost, second round lost, Western Finals lost to the Warriors, and then they lost in the first round to the Warriors, and then that was it.
That was it. I think the other comp, though, I'm glad you bring up the Lakers, but I'd love to know what happened, and I do know because I was there, but like, yeah. But what happened after
Kobe?
After Powell. What happened at the end of Kobe's career? After the second championship flurry.
Right.
And ask a Laker fan, would you give that back? You know how Kobe finished his career, never wore another jersey, did a speech the last night, I think scored, was it 60, 70, whatever the hell it was.
Something.
And it was a ridiculous game, and they, you know, everybody was just, they made the whole thing about Kobe, and it was not about winning anymore. It was just about Kobe. And I promise you, if you polled all the Laker fans out there, and the vote would not even be close, they would not give that back for the idea of, boy, if the Lakers had just traded Kobe for his last 2 years, they could have regenerated this thing a little bit quicker. That, no, they would not give that back. There's nothing more special to them than the idea of Magic and Kobe, who are elevated above all of the other stars in LA because they never, ever, ever wore another jersey. That's what we're doing here.
That's right. And so, in 2010, the Lakers won it again, and then the next year they were second round and out, and then in 2012, Gasol was still there, they were second round and out, and then I think the next year was when they went 45-37, first round loss to the Spurs, and then that was, I mean, Powell was still there, but it was kind of what this is, which is
slow burn,
right? Yep. A slow Peter, and then Powell left, and Kobe got hurt. And then Kobe came back. they actually went 27-55.
27-55.
In 2014.
And nobody would give it back.
Right.
So I think that we've got to do it.
That's the year Kobe played six games.
Got to acknowledge this a little bit. This is what we're doing here. We may not realize that we're in it yet, but we are. What we are doing here is Operation Steph Stays Forever.
Yep.
And yes, it is not championships on the way out. He's 37 years old. And by the way, he wasn't very good last night, was he?
No.
He was not very good last night.
Pods was your second best player.
Right.
And if that's going to be the case, you're probably going to be, 35-47. And yeah, Kobe played six games. And then the next year he came back and he played about a half a year. And you were 21-61 that next year. So hopefully this doesn't come to that.
Hopefully it won't. I don't think it will, by the way.
No, but like you're saying, Laker fans, they would never give that up. A lot of my best friends are Laker fans. And they would go to 20 games a year just to watch Kobe, the maestro.
They'd have gone 0-82, and they'd have been fine with it if you said you could be a second round team if you just move him, send him to Houston.
Yep, no chance.
Oh no. Sponsored by Serramonte Ford. Bay Area heads up: the Ford Final Days year end sales event is on now at Serramonte Ford. Get an extra $1,000 in bonus cash on new 20-25 Fords plus 0% APR. For 60 months on F-150, Explorer, Escape, Mach-E, Lightning, and Super Duty. Zero down, zero payments for 90 days. Ends January 2nd. Serramonte Ford, right off 280 or online at SerramonteFord.com. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.